From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Many Americans are turning away from sugary drinks in an effort to be healthier. They're choosing instead bottled water. The bottled water market is growing exponentially and offers both convenience and an assurance of cleanliness. But just how clean and pure is bottled water? A new investigative report on bottled water around the globe may just make you rethink your habit. Orb Media, in a follow-up to a story from last year called Invisibles, the Plastic Inside Us, examined bottled water from a variety of manufacturers around the world and found disturbing levels of microscopic pieces of plastic or microplastics floating in the water. So essentially, when you drink bottled water, you're drinking a bunch of plastic with it. My guest is Chris Tyree. He's a journalist with Orb Media and co-author of the new article, which is entitled Plus Plastic, Microplastics Found in Global Bottled Water. And we'd had him on our program last year to discuss his earlier piece, Invisibles, The Plastic Inside Us. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Nali, for having me.
So it's sort of scary at the same time as it's exciting to have you on our program, because I kind of want to know but don't want to know what you have found. Your journalism is very scientific. You've done a lot of essentially experimentation to determine what's in the water we drink. Let's talk about how you determined what you found, which is that microplastics contaminate bottled water. Where did you get the water and how did you test it?
Very good. Well, you know, it is a little bit scary to think about these days, about what's in our water. It's one common that we all need to live. It's necessary, regardless of who you are, where you live in the world. And so, as you mentioned, we did this piece last year on looking for microplastic particles in the global tap water. And that's just sort of naturally led us to wanting to look for microplastics in bottled water. So we did. We looked at the 11 major companies, major brands that supply most of the bottled water around the world. We looked from 11 brands from 19 locations in 9 countries on 5 continents, and using a process that was peer-reviewed using a type of dye called Nile Red. Our scientist at the lab, Dr. Sherry Mason, infused bottles of water with this dye and sit for a few moments. And then using a crime light and orange goggles, was able to see fluorescing particles of microplastic on filters.
So if you sort of dye the water and then light it with special light, you can just literally see it with the naked eye.
You can. And if you go to our website, there's kind of a disturbing video that sort of kicks it off that shows one bottle. It was...
We're showing it to our TV audience right now. Go ahead.
Okay. So this bottle is... I would say it was unique. It was one that had more particles than a lot of the others. The average number was over 300 or around 325 particles. And some bottles had as many as 10,000, and this one was up there. And you could, using a crime light, see some of these particles with the naked eye. But I think what is also interesting and what was very much different than our last study is that with this method, we were able to see particles much smaller. So in our previous study using rose Bengal as a stain for the filter, which allowed the plastic to be seen on top of it, we were looking at particles, around 100 microns there, which is about the width of the human hair. Here we were seeing those as well, but it allowed us to see particles all the way down to 6.5 microns.
And so you saw more?
We saw a lot more, and those particles are about the size of a human red blood cell, maybe a little smaller, which is actually an interesting kind of discovery. So
is there a theory as to where that plastic is coming from? Because we know that there's sort of conventional wisdom is that you don't drink water from a plastic water bottle that you might have left in a hot car, because some of that plastic might have leached into the water. Did you get the sense that some of this plastic was coming from the bottle itself?
you know, it's really hard to say. Certainly, there's a lot of plastic just floating around the air naturally anyway.
Floating in the air?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's microplastic floating. If there is synthetic carpet in your house or you're sitting on performance fabric or you're, you know, it's in the air. So we controlled for that in the lab using a laminar flow hood. So we could really take that out of the equation. So where does this plastic come from? Well, over 50% of the plastic that we were able to test using infrared spectrometry found polypropylene, which is the same kind of material that's found in the making of the cap.
That goes on the bottle.
Correct. So, I mean, it's quite possible that when you know, either in the making of it, of the making of the actual cap or the aspect of putting the cap on and taking it off, but over time, will release plastic into the bottle. We found some particles that had things attached to them, so like lubricants and things like that. But there were a variety of different materials that were found.
Different types of plastic. Some might say, all right, so we're drinking a bunch of microplastics. Plastic is relatively inert. What's a big deal? But is it a big deal to be drinking all this plastic? What does it do to our bodies?
Well, I think the question of is it inert is still something that hasn't been solved. And, you know, some science has already shown that in an environment where it comes in contact with other contaminants, it's very good at absorbing them. And in the guts of animals, it's very good at releasing them. And then again, the chemistry of the plastic itself, you know, it is a petroleum-based product. When that breaks down, how that breaks down, we just don't know. And science is, I mean, they're still looking. So all these microplastics are breaking down into even smaller particles. I mean, at 6.5 microns, the size of a human red blood cell, those kind of particles can be translocated in the body. And, you know, and how long they stay there and what effects those have, science just doesn't have that answer yet.
Isn't there some information or some indication that there could be endocrine disrupting? We know that certain plastic contaminants have been phased out of baby milk bottles because they are, you know, seen as potentially disrupting the hormone systems in children. So is that the sort of concern that we might have?
Well, sure. I mean, those kinds of plastics are obviously going to be ending up in your body. We know that they're, you know, we know we found them. We know that they're in your water, your bottled water or your tap water. You're likely breathing them, and of all different types of plastics, from styrene that comes off of tires to, like you just mentioned, the endocrine disrupting coming off of different kinds of plasticizers used in making up plastic.
Is there a variation among the manufacturers? Because you tested bottled water from a number of different sources from around the globe. Is there any one brand that's much worse or another brand that's much better than the rest?
You know, that's a really good question. Honestly, we didn't. To do that sample, to really be able to answer that question properly, we would have to do a much, much, much bigger sample. And we actually did a very, you know, in scientific terms, a sample of over 250 bottles is actually quite large. Most scientific studies don't go that big. But to be able to really answer, like, is there one brand better than the other? Is there one method better than the other? We would really have to test a lot, because even though some brands showed in the 10, like, say, we tested a couple single sources, one of them was one of the leaders in number of microplastics, and the other one wasn't. But what does that mean? Was it in the process? Was it in the making? It's just hard to say.
So it could have been, for example, that if you found that Nestle, a bottle of Nestle water had a huge number of microplastics, it could have been that it was just that particular bottle because of where it was sourced from, and another bottle of Nestle water might have had fewer.
Right. There was a lot of variation even between the bottles.
I see.
I mean, within one lot of Nestle, or one lot that we tested, there was nine particles and over 10,000. So it's just really hard to say, you know, because we could only test the end product. We know that they're testing. You know, two of the companies that replied to us, responded to us, did say that they have found microplastics in their bottled water, just not to the same level that we found it.
Now, can bottled water, if the water that is in those bottles is contaminated with microplastics right from the start, that is from the source, couldn't manufacturers filter the water for microplastics? I mean, of course, that wouldn't address anything coming out of the cap.
Yeah, I mean, if you want my honest personal answer, like there's
yes,
no way
I do.
You're not going to filter it out. You know, you'll filter out some. Certainly particles that are big enough to be caught up in a screen of some sort are going to be caught. Obviously, in our filters, we were filtering down to 1.5 microns. So it was capturing anything above 1.5 microns, presumably. So there is the potential that you could, but you know, there are a lot of particles, and I think this is where the next science really needs to go, and where I hope the WHO also pushes the funding and the research is in nanoparticles, because the smaller they get, the more, what's the right word? I wouldn't say necessarily lethal, but they're definitely something to be concerned about, because those smaller particles definitely can move through the body. They can get through tissue. They can, they can invade other organs very easily.
So if there are microplastics in bottled water, and your earlier study found microplastics in tap water too, there is no sort of, this story doesn't have one of those places where we can end with, okay, if consumers only choose this source, then they can protect themselves and let the market do the rest, etc. Essentially, I'm concluding that you can't escape ingesting microplastics in our current day and age.
No, you can't. And I think the scary part is that we've created more plastic in the last 10 years than in the last century combined. And, there was a story that came out last week about just that they'd underestimated how big the garbage patch in the Pacific Gyre is. Well, that is a lot of plastic that will take time to break down. And that plastic goes somewhere.
Plastic,
right?
I mean, biodegrades very, very, very slowly.
Very slowly, but in the marine environment, with the waves and the sun, and even how other organisms work, that they break down a little faster. But yeah, you're talking about a massive amount of plastic, and then there's some estimates that it takes 20 years from plastic on the shoreline to reach the gyre. So if that's really the case, there's a lot of plastic on the way to the gyre, to all the gyres. So it's definitely a concern. And I think, our reasoning for looking at bottled water is that it's something that we all have to have. It doesn't matter if you're a lobster fisherman in Maine or a mussel farmer in Indonesia, like you have to have water to live. And if that water that we're drinking is contaminated, then that's an issue, and we need to really start taking this seriously.
So essentially, if we want to trace back the source of the problem that we're seeing emerging in our water, whether it's from the tap or the bottle, it's that we as a society are manufacturing from petrochemical sources far too much plastic. I mean, you can look at the sort of manufacturing boom in China these days. You can buy extremely cheap toys, clothes, you name it. And they're often made in China because it's cheap to do it, and they're made everywhere else as well. And there's just this massive consumer hunger for these cheap goods, which drives the manufacturing of plastic. And we are not thinking about the fact that eventually we're essentially drinking that plastic. And our children will be drinking it.
Absolutely. And we have become, we're a society of convenience. And it doesn't really matter, again, where you are in the world. I mean, we like our convenience. And I think certainly plastic has a lot of good values. It's used in medicine to keep people alive. So to say all plastic is bad is not right. And there are some great people out there that are working and thinking about how do we create a circular economy that really takes away some of these issues, really one of the disturbing facts that we found when we were working on this project with Orb is the number of bottled waters manufactured in 2017. If you stacked them end on end and you assume that each one was 5 inches tall, they would stretch to the moon and back 722 times.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that brings me then to the question that was forming in my mind as you started to say that, which is that even if microplastics are found in tap water as much as it is in bottled water, the sheer act of buying a single-use bottled water, most people don't reuse their plastic bottle, you're essentially contributing to the very plastic problem, the problem of overproducing and consuming plastic that leads to the plastic contamination in your water, no matter what the source. So overall, in the long term, if we want a world with less plastic, it is still better to consume tap water, not, you know, fuel this plastic consumption through the consumption of bottled water. I mean, you use a bottle of water once, you drink the water out of it, you toss it, and then it is around for decades and generations.
Obviously, bottled water is going to be necessary in some places that just right. They do not have the infrastructure to
it's
have
good in emergency water. Situations, right?
Absolutely. You do not ever really want to reuse a plastic bottle if you can help it. Regardless about the plastic, they say that's just not a good idea anyway. Single-use plastics are an issue, and I think we're going to see more science come out in the next few years that really talk about the impact that they're having on human health.
So you don't want to reuse a plastic water bottle, and yet there are a lot of reusable water bottles that are marketed as eco-friendly that are also made out of plastic, right? I mean, there are metal and glass bottles, which might be the most preferable. There are also a lot of plastic water bottles and cups out there that people reuse.
Yeah. You know, I do a lot of different, you know, at Orb, we do a lot of different kinds of stories. I think this story really changed my perception of how I should be, thinking about my affinity for plastic. So yeah, this year I changed out everything to stainless steel just to be safe. You never know.
Well, Chris, orbmedia.org is the best place to read your pieces.
Yes. And we've got an amazing network, that we've put together. And so, Orb has this ability now to reach a very large audience very quickly. And we're very excited about this kind of journalism model and the kind of work that's we're doing with our partners.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I kind of want to say, I hope we'll have you back on, but I kind of don't.
Well, I hope to be doing some more happy stories.
Thanks so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Okay, thank you, Sonali.
Chris Tyree is a journalist with Orb Media. We've been discussing the new report he's co-authored called Plus Plastic, Microplastics Found in Global Bottled Water. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.